I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. John the Baptist, he lived out in the desert. He was out there performing great penances for himself, living a solitary life there. And he was a model of angelic virtue in everything that he did. One couldn't help but be drawn to St. John the Baptist because of that example. And as he was there and people started to come, he preached to them. He talked to them and called to them, telling them to confess, to repent, and to amend their lives, and to change their ways, and to make themselves ready for the coming of the Lord. To make themselves ready, for the Messiah was near at hand, that promised day that they were all waiting for to arrive for themselves. Their redemption, they needed to be made ready. And with that preaching and that model example of his life, more and more attention was drawn to St. John the Baptist, to the point that even the Pharisees themselves, who were extremely proud and who were extremely devoted to their own power and their own self-righteousness, they sent people out to see St. John the Baptist and report back to them, because they were now interested. Who was this man? What was he doing? What was he saying? Was it the Messiah that they knew was coming and that they had even themselves been waiting for and expecting to come? Was it to be him that they found out in the wilderness? But they, in seeing St. John and hearing him, they heard his words, the call that he gave them. And they heard it, or at least their envoys heard it, but they didn't heed it. They didn't follow what he told them. And it's in that point that we find really the Advent spirit that I want to talk about today. We're being called to God. Every single one of us, every person in the world is constantly having that calling of drawing us nearer to God. And everybody hears that call, but it's up to us to choose whether we follow after it and we choose to heed what the instruction is given to us. Now, there are two means in which we see that calling towards a way of preparation with Advent. First off is the most obvious. That is the liturgical side of it. We are called during Advent to spiritually prepare ourselves in the liturgical sense. The time of penance representing the darkness of sin in the world, especially before the coming of the Christ, that aspect of expectation, awaiting the Nativity. We get ourselves ready for that great and highest of feast days, the birth of Christ. But we also have a daily call that's reflected by the season of Advent that calls us to see God face to face. It calls us to be ready for our judgment. It calls us to perfection in order that we can be with him forever in heaven, in paradise. And it's that call which I want to talk about a bit today. The call to perfection. What does that mean for each of us? It's twofold, really. It's a call to a life in a state of sanctifying grace. We're meant to have God dwelling within us, to be friends of his, to be recognized by him as one of his own. That state of sanctifying grace, keeping our souls in that good graces of God and maintaining that all our days. And secondarily, there's a call to increase in that way of grace, to grow in love and service of God each and every day. not being satisfied where we are, but always looking for that next point to reach, as Our Lady was the perfect example of when we celebrated her Immaculate Conception just over a week ago. She was born perfectly in grace. She never knew sin at all in her life. She was full of grace as the angel greeted her on that day of the Annunciation. And yet she increased in grace every single day, maintaining a complete fullness, but always making her capacity more and more each and every moment of her existence. Now we hear that, and we know that. That's why you're here today. But our struggle is to always follow that call, not just on the Sunday morning as we sit here, but each and every moment of our lives, to heed that call to increase in grace and to follow and prepare ourselves to one day see God. But we don't always find that an easy task. So how do we fail in that? How do we miss that boat sometimes of the call that God has for us constantly? Well, there are many ways. Some hear the call, but they do not heed it at all. That's not to say completely, although there are many in the world that do, and it's not that what I mean here necessarily. But people sometimes hear the call and are too busy heeding another call in order to follow the first one. And this happens when one allows sin to rule their lives. We have certain things that we don't want to give up, the sins that we're so attached to that we know are going to be a difficulty to purge from our lives. And so we hold that sin more closely than we do God Himself. We listen to that heeding than we do, more so than we listen to the call to heaven. And we see what the problem is, but we don't make the effort to change it. Where can we see that in examples? Bad relationships, perhaps. People that we know that are around us that constantly bring us towards sin, that are bad influences on us and oftentimes are the ruin of our soul. That is one means. Or immodesty in dress. That idea that we have things that we wear and out of our own vanity, we don't want to change that, but we fail to recognize that if it's immodest today, it's immodest tomorrow as well. It's not going to change. The connection to bad entertainment, things that we know are a constant source of temptation towards sin. And again, if it's lewd today, it's lewd tomorrow. And we don't want to just purge it from our lives altogether, destroy it and throw it into the bonfires of vanity, as was done in the Middle Ages. Or we have attachment, maybe not to sin, but we have attachment to self, and we hear our own call over that of the call of God. And we let pride rule our lives, and that we know that we follow what God wants us to do so long that it fits into our nice little box, as long as it fits into that what I already have in my mind as the right way. But as soon as somebody who in authority tells me that it's something that I have to do or have to change, or that is a danger to my life or to my soul, that is contrary to what my preconceived notion would be or my own thoughts would be, then I set that aside. And I trick myself to thinking I'm following down that pathway to God, but rather I diverge from it in small little increments and still find myself off of that way that I'm supposed to prepare. Another means by which some miss the call of our Lord is that we hesitate to answer. And that hesitation comes from fear. If our faults perhaps lie in that infrequent use of the sacrament of penance, the church gives us that sacrament because we need it. We because it knows our weaknesses, it sees our faults, and calls us to it with repetition. But we fear, perhaps, what the priest might think of us if we tell him exactly what our sins are. And it keeps us away, or keeps us vague in our confessing of the sins. The only person we cheat in that is our own selves, and we worry about something that doesn't have a basis in reality, as the priest truly rejoices at every good confession that he hears. Or we have a fear of accusing ourselves. We don't like that look of honesty, and that accusation of fault, and that looking at our own imperfection and realizing that we do fall short. And that keeps us away from that frequent use of such a strengthening grace of confession. But in order to move forward, we have to have the remedy of confession to leave those faults in the past where they belong, and to leave them, the old man, behind. Or perhaps that fear is a fear of human respect in calling us to a life of grace. That human respect that keeps us hesitant to act virtuously for fear that what others might see in that action, or fear to speak up when we know that it's our duty to correct one in a time. What will our family members who are not Catholic say or do to us? What will our friends think of us? How will our co-workers change their opinion or how they treat us? Those things dominate our mind, and that fear makes us hesitant to answer the call. Sometimes we think we hear and follow the call enough, and yet we don't. This comes in two ways. Apathy and sloth, for one. An apathy and a sloth towards the spiritual life, that we have this mindset, perhaps, well, as long as I don't commit mortal sin, it's all that really matters. And that's my goal. That's my aim point, not mortal sin. And yet, because of that, so having such a low bar that I set for myself, there's no real growth whatsoever that takes place in my spiritual life. I just kind of stand at the mouth of the pathway that I'm called to prepare, rather than following down it, and I never make any real progress to get closer to God. Or complacency is the second way, that we're trying to be devout. We have our prayers, we have our devotions, we have our Sunday Mass, and we think, that's good, I keep maintaining that, what I do regularly, and I should be all right. But again, we've made it part way, and then we stop in our tracks. The growth has ceased. We're simply maintaining. We're not getting closer to God in that instant. Sometimes, other noises crowd out our call. Too many distractions in the life around us. It takes up too much of our time. It draws us away from what is meant to be most important to us. We're too focused, perhaps, on work. We're too focused, perhaps, on money and wealth. We're too focused on possessions in our lives, or social standing, or how, or different human relationships, or whatever it may be, that it draws us away from that time we're meant to spend in prayer. And it draws us away from that time that we're meant to look for those means of continual spiritual growth and to hear the call that God has us to continue on that pathway. Or perhaps it's too much of a focus on recreation in life. This is a trapping that is so easily fallen into because we do work hard, and it's a necessity for us to work hard in life. And we come back home and we think to ourselves, I just want to relax, and I ease off of that pressure on myself, and I let go completely, in which I neglect my spiritual duties of the day because I'm too interested in my recreation. And that it pulls me away from things like my prayer or my spiritual reading or my time spent in meditation and my daily devotions, those things I find myself skipping pieces or all of them. Why? Because I've spent hours doing things that were merely for the point of entertainment, or that my recreation, God forbid, takes me away from even Sunday Mass itself, choosing things that are for enjoyment over the things that are a necessity under sin, choosing the lesser over God Himself and the simple requirements He's placed on our souls as Catholics of following through with our weekly Sunday Mass and holy days of obligation. Those things that I list off, it's not an exhaustive list by any means, but it illustrates that there is an entire wide range of areas that every single one of us can look at and say, some of that is mine. Some of that is where my fault lies. And that's precisely why the Church gives us penitential seasons. It's precisely why we find ourselves in Advent and what type of spirit we're meant to have right now, and why it's so important for us to truly embrace Advent, this short period of time that we have left in this penitential season, to make the most of it. We have to remind ourselves constantly to look at our lives honestly, to reevaluate where we're at, to reevaluate what I'm doing in order to sanctify myself, to continue my spiritual growth, and to see those things which I do well, and to continue to do them, and to try to do them even better, and to see those things where I'm deficient, and make changes to grow. To see that now is the time to sacrifice a little more so that I can take that next step down that pathway I'm meant to prepare to see God. And when we unite ourselves with the Church's spirit of penance, and when we willingly offer up those sacrifices for the purpose of conquering ourselves and our deficiencies and our weaknesses in the spiritual life, it's there that we find growth. The call comes to every single one of us. We're all being called to prepare the way of the Lord. It sounds maybe a bit cliche in that sense, but when we really stop and we really look at ourselves, we can see those areas where we need to grow. That is the purpose of life itself. We are here to continually get closer to heaven one day, to choose again and again, to strive after perfection, to grow in my own grace and to my own spiritual life, so that I will one day find myself worthy to stand before God and to enter into paradise. And it is different for each of us exactly what that call is, depending on our state of life, depending on where we are at in our spiritual life, depending on what areas of primary faults and primary virtues that we have in our lives. Each one is unique itself, but the fact that we are called to that end, towards perfection, towards that constant lack of satisfaction of where I am today in hopes of being closer to God tomorrow, that is common to all of us. And when I honestly look and reflect upon it and start making those little bits of sacrifices and efforts in that constant pursuit of growth and grace, then I do sanctify my Advent season. I set the tone right for a good and holy Christmas season. I carry on growth that will serve me well in the future in my life in fighting new battles against temptation, and new fights against the world and those who are trying to pull us away from that ultimate goal of saving our souls. And God, seeing that constant struggle forward, will take care to aid us the rest of the way and welcome us when we finally do reach that end of seeing Him face to face a meeting that we know not the day that it'll happen, but we know will happen. And I always must strive to be prepared, preparing my way for the Lord. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.